Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2017. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to Issues 2017.
Thank you, Steve.
It's been several months since Ron Blackwell retired as Wichita Fire Chief. Do we have a permanent replacement now?
Not yet. We're in national search. Tammy Snow is our interim chief and is doing a wonderful job in that capacity. I'll be learning more about some of the finalists for the position later this week.
Does it always take this long? I mean,
It can, yes, especially when
you do a national. I can't remember how when we had the police chief search. That went for a while.
That went for a long time, yeah. Because if you remember, we did an assessment of the department.
That's right.
And asked for community feedback before we went into that selection process.
Money from the sale of the downtown Hyatt Hotel has been allocated for projects in the city council districts and for street repair. Give us an update on how street repair is going.
We're just finishing up our first season. There'll be 2 or 3 years in order for us to be able to accomplish all the work. If you remember, it's a $10 million project. We're primarily or almost exclusively in the residential areas. That's where we've heard from our residents the most in terms of the need, and we really wanted to move the needle in that regard. We're getting some positive feedback from the neighbors that have been affected, where we have made repairs. We're doing more than just filling potholes, but we're actually improving the surface as well. So we're taking care of all of the initial surface problems, and then we're resurfacing the streets.
You know, you look at something like that, and you've got literally thousands of miles of residential streets, right?
We do.
It's just it's a phenomenal job to keep on top of that.
Right. And on top of it, we've gone through some difficult financial times over the last 20, 25 years. And as a result of that, probably not invested or reinvested in our street system the way we needed to. And so we're playing catch up. And our residents remind me of that every time I'm out talking to neighborhood associations.
Yeah, I saw in our Riverside area the other day on Bidding Street, there was a water main break. And that really fouled things up for several days. In fact, I don't think it's got open yet. They had to rebuild a curb and a street and everything else.
Right. People forget we have old infrastructure. In some places in the city, we have infrastructure that's over 100 years old. And we're replacing water mains now that are about that age.
Yeah. Well, it's been reported that the city is very close to getting minor league baseball franchise to locate in Wichita. Can you update us on that?
Well, I don't really have a lot to report in that regard. We have a consultant that we've been working with, and that's how you have to do it. We're not allowed to have any direct contact with any team until they've declared an official interest in the city. And so right now, our consultant is working with multiple interested parties, and at some point we're hoping that they'll come forward with a formal request to negotiate with the city.
And, you know, the thing is, the Wingnuts have just done a phenomenal job of what they have to work with and what they are. But isn't it – do you perceive that – as I'll just share with you. I perceive that an affiliation with a major league team is much better. It should be a lot better.
I don't really feel qualified to weigh in on that. Wingnuts have done a phenomenal job as an independent team.
Yeah.
And I have a great amount of respect and I think a good relationship with the ownership. They are fighting a tough battle,
yeah.
Right? When you don't have an affiliation, it's, I think, a little harder for people to be excited about a team because they don't watch people move up and down into the majors, and that does seem to have some excitement for fans. They're also playing in an old stadium, and we know we have to do something with that facility. If we are successful in getting an affiliated team, we'll raise the stadium and build new. If not, and the Wingnuts stay here, then we'll be doing something to improve the facility.
Okay, so that's where you are then. If we get the affiliation or another team coming in, then we tear down and start over again.
Right, and the reason we can do that is we have state assistance that is tied to an affiliated baseball team. And so if we're not successful in getting an affiliated team, then that state money disappears. And as a result of that, our resources will be limited, and we'll have to make the best of what we've got.
Is there any thought of moving the stadium to a different place? Again, my opinion, that's a perfect place for the stadium. But is there any thought about doing that?
No. There was some discussion when they were doing some initial planning this year for improvements in Delano, and they did look at some concepts of moving it. But I think you're right. It's a perfect location, and it helps energize the river. And that's what's so important.
And basically, it's pretty good parking, too, really.
It does have good parking. It'll be an interesting challenge to do the planning, because if you do it right, you can spur additional commercial development around the facility. And as a result of that, maybe you'd even go to some structured parking so that you pick up some additional space for that development.
Upgrading downtown convention and performing arts, what to do with Century 2. This is a kind of a hot one. Where are we on that one there?
I don't know, Steve. What do you want to do with it?
I know what my wife wants. Okay, that's all I know.
Yeah,
my wife wants to keep it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from a lot of people. As you know, I made a recommendation to the city council a little less than a month ago about how to move forward, and we've been paralyzed by this decision partly because of the large scale and scope of the project. And what I've asked the council to consider is splitting it off to two decisions. One, what do we do with our convention center and our needs for convention space? And what do we do for the cultural arts piece of it, the performing arts piece? And I've made a recommendation that we take the existing Bob Brown Convention Center space and modernize it and expand it and get to a point where we have 150,000 square feet of modern open space. And I think that will allow us to be competitive again in the convention industry. And that's really important because that drives our economy. We know that at the low end, that for every dollar we spend on a convention facility, we can generate at least $2 into our economy. And on the high end, probably getting closer to $4. So that's important in terms of economic development. On the performing arts side, I have made a recommendation that we keep the existing building and that we then modernize it. And I used kind of my model the Palace of Fine Arts or for Fine Arts in San Francisco. But another good example is if you look worldwide, the Opera House in Vienna. Old building, obviously, right? If you see it, the building is okay. It's historic. But you go inside and it's grand, and they have modernized it and kept it relevant and current. And that's another great example. If we preserve and celebrate what we have as the architectural feature downtown, which I do think is iconic. I'm not sure you can see a picture of downtown that doesn't have C2 either in the foreground or the background. But then let's make it relevant. Let's put in the right performing arts facilities that we need and do it in a way that we can really be proud and it will generate performing arts for the next 30 years.
Are you asking for yet more public input on this?
Yes. Okay. And I'm glad you asked that, Steve. Excuse me. My recommendations were only a starting point. The council has said that they now want to go out and get input from the community, and we're in the process of trying to design that. I am going to ask a group, either local or some from another part of the state, we're soliciting proposals right now, to lead that so it doesn't look like the city is trying to come in with any kind of a biased approach. And we want to get a neutral party to ask the question in the community, what do you want to do?
Do you think it'd be kind of difficult to – people have a hard time. I'm having a hard time imagining – Century 2 with improvements on the exterior. Will we have to see some sort of offering or rendering or something that we can look at?
One of the things we're thinking about is having charrettes as part of this input process. And that is where somebody says, I love C2, but I think if you were to do X, Y, Z to it, it would be even more interesting. And then someone can sketch that up. People then can respond in the meeting to that, okay. Those kind of suggestions.
All right. We can see construction activity on the west bank of the Arkansas River, anchored obviously by that new library. When is that project to be completed?
Well, we've got a great contractor, Donlinger, who's doing that project, and they are ahead of schedule. We originally were planning to open in spring, around March or April. They believe that they'll be completed with the building by the end of the year. There are a few pieces of it that we still need to make sure are operational, especially the technology inside the building. So it may be early 2018 when we're ready to open that.
You know, any development, any construction project by local government has an economic impact. You put people to work.
Right.
Talk about that for just a little bit.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because that's not something that we spend a lot of time talking about. And some people say, I'm not real appreciative of you spending my tax dollars in terms of some of the ways that you do. But on the capital side, we are helping our economy because we are trying to keep our contractors at full employment if at all possible. Then that's not the purpose of our projects. It's to improve our infrastructure. But it does allow for our local contractors to have predictable business. We do 10-year planning for our capital projects. And so anyone who's following that in the construction industry knows that if they make the right investment, that they've got some work that's coming from us. There's another piece of that that's really kind of exciting for me is that we're receiving money from HUD in order to upgrade all of our public housing. And that's going to be a shot in the arm of $60 million into our local economy for all that remodeling work. And now, so we're working with the Wichita area builders about how do they gear up their staffs to be able to do that work as much as possible with the local contractors.
Is that something I'd qualify for? To have them come
to my home?
You probably
qualify more for the elderly housing.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I mean, is that for low-income people then?
It is for low and moderate income.
Because, you know, we've got... You know, we've got a lot of houses around the city that are in pretty sad shape.
Right, right. And some of those are owned by the city, our housing authority.
Really?
And
okay.
It will be in great condition. Many of those houses will take down to the studs and then completely rebuild the interior.
Well, and we were talking about the construction and projects and whatnot, but I've heard from people who are involved with the USD 259, past superintendent said, you know, that bond issue, overhauling all those schools, basically kept some of the construction people in business for a few years.
Well, because they did do their work during the recession.
Yeah.
But that wasn't by design, right? That just was happenstance. Yeah. That was approved, I think, in 2008, if I remember, right? Just as the recession
and then,
came
boom,
up.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Pretty good timing.
Yeah.
All right. Tyson Foods looking to place a chicken processing plant somewhere after folks in Leavenworth County said no. Is Wichita involved in any attempt to get Tyson's Foods to come here? I mean, you've got some space up there at 21st Street. I know that.
Well, the county's taking the lead on this
county,
project.
Yeah, it's a county deal, isn't it?
Right, and we've said we'll be supportive in any way that they need us to be, and that's in an early phase.
So you're probably offering $200-300 million tax break to him, right?
I don't think you'll see a package
I don't think
like
that. Would fly.
Yeah, okay. I know you talk to the mayor a lot, and you know that the mayor and council have kind of changed our approach to economic development. So we don't write big checks.
Okay. You're listening to Issues 2017 on the Intercom radio stations. Our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Economic development, a big part of any community's survival and growth. How does the city of Wichita participate in that effort?
We do it in a partnership way, and I think the first thing you have to recognize is that cities don't create jobs, right? Government doesn't create jobs. The private sector does. So there are certain things you can do to make the business environment better, and that's our number one issue, and that is that if you have a project that's on the drawing board, we need to try to get you through our process quickly. We need to be business friendly in that regard, and we are doing that in partnership with the county. As you know, we have a building department that is a city-county operation. Then when it comes to projects like Cargill, it's a matter of sitting down and asking the company, what do they need to be successful in Wichita? And what we're finding is it is not that they need us to write a check for $1 million. Normally, it's infrastructure help. And so we've been helping with parking garages that will not only benefit a business, but will also benefit the public. For instance, the Cargill parking garage that we've bought easement rights, so to speak, so that the public can use that for in-trust arena events and also for evenings in Old Town. And that way the public is served by that infrastructure investment and it helps the business. So we look for those partnership opportunities.
I think Cargill's a great example of somebody staying down there in the central part of the city and making use of space that's already there. And you think that could become a trend, maybe?
Well, we hope so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we then see someone backfill into their building by their old building. And so we're definitely gaining in that regard.
You took over as city manager in 2009, right after the Great Recession hit. You think Wichita has fully recovered from the recession 9 years later?
Wow, that's a really good question, Steve. I would tell you that we have not fully recovered. We're not back to the levels that we were in maybe 2007. So if you use that as your standard in the growth period that preceded the recession, we're not there yet. But we're doing some great things. And if you remember, our growth was so reliant on aviation.
Oh, yeah.
And now with the regional effort to diversify our economy, the work we're doing on new clusters and taking some of the expertise that exists here and taking it beyond aviation, doing that through what we call the Blueprint for Regional Economic Growth, that's one approach. And we're starting to see a lot more work done with entrepreneurs. And I think that's really exciting how we're generating and helping those new businesses grow. And so I think it's an organic process and one that's going to make us much healthier and more resistant to changes in the economy in the future.
You know, one of the things that's cropping up in many areas, and I don't know how to city government, I don't know what the impact is, but there are people who are baby boomers who are staying on the job longer, a lot of us, but one of these days soon, those folks, we're going to start retiring, and probably in bunches.
Right.
And where are we going to get the workers from? That's the question. Is that anything you're involved in at City Hall, or is that just an economic problem?
Steve, I think workforce development is our number one economic development issue in this region. How do we attract people for that very reason, to come in for existing jobs but also prepare us for the future? We know we're going to lose a number of workers through retirement. The partnership, the Greater Wichita Partnership, has actually created a position whose whole mission is to help attract, work with local companies to attract talent into the area. And we also have the Workforce Alliance that is spending a lot of time and attention on this issue. And I think you're going to see more and more from us in a support role with those agencies to make sure that we're addressing this issue.
My feeling is you take all the other issues we talk about, streets, taxes, state government, whatever, and this still, to me, is a central issue.
Right.
That's facing our culture right
now. And it
now.
Goes further than what you talked about. Yes, we have a lot of folks who will be leaving the workforce, but we have people that left this community when we went into the downturn and the aviation jobs disappeared. Well, they had to do something, and so many of them moved out of our area. Our unemployment rate is fairly low, but our total employment base has dropped. And so it's a low number of a smaller group.
There are fewer people unemployed, but there are fewer people employed.
In the workforce, yeah. Correct. Yep. And that's our dilemma.
Talk about the importance of Old Town and Delano and attracting visitors and boosting the local economy.
Well, I think it's all part of that energy that we're feeling right now, right? I mean, Old Town has done well. Even during the recession, it did well. But quality of life is so important. And we're seeing more and more attention paid to that by not just those of us in City Hall or in city government, but more importantly by our residents. And our businesses are saying we have to do things in order to be able to attract 20 and 30-somethings. And they want a lot of amenities. They want what Old Town, Delano, and other parts of the town offer.
Let's talk about the police for just a minute. Do we have body cams for every officer now?
We do.
That's been quite a challenge. And yep. All paid for and everything?
They're all paid for. Bigger challenge will be how do we continue to support those and how do we then plan for their replacement. as we go forward. But it's been a great tool. It's a great benefit to our residents as well as to our officers.
Yeah, the problem is that I understand is that you generate a lot of video, and somebody has to keep track of it, and you know, there's evidence in there and all kinds of things.
That's true.
There are other layers to this.
Right, and we're learning how to better manage that data. You don't have to look at everything, every minute of video. It's just a matter of when you're making cases.
Yeah. Our police have worked hard on community involvement. Is it working?
I think so.
Or can you measure it? I'm not sure you can.
I think we'll find out when we do our next citizen survey. We'll be able to judge how we've done in the past versus how our residents are perceiving the police department now. But I think we've always had great people on the street. We have a more focused effort on community policing. In talking to the chief, you know that his emphasis is that every police officer is a community police officer, that they understand the importance of community policing and relationships with people in our residents and our businesses. And I think there's a real positive feeling in the community about what our police department's doing.
City Council passed another budget a few months ago without a property tax increase. How are you maintaining city services without increasing taxes year over year?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve, because even though our economy is better than it was in 2009, this maybe is one of the most difficult budgets I've had to prepare, because what we're seeing is a change in our revenue sources. We have what I've said is we have a 21st century budget on a 20th century revenue base. Property tax is taking more of the burden. We had fees that had come to us. Well, first of all, sales tax. We know what's happening with sales tax. More and more people are buying on the internet and not from local businesses. And when that happens, the city's sales tax is not collected by the internet provider. And so we're seeing a difficulty in our sales tax receipts.
Right.
We have received money continuously in the past from telephone franchise fees, from cable franchise fees. Well, we know with the changes in technology, people are dropping their hard lines, and fewer and fewer people are using cable, and they're getting their entertainment in a different way. And so we're being challenged on the revenue side. The council has continued to say that property tax increases are the last resort. We are going into we did two things in this budget that I think are really important for our residents. One, we did what we called a zero-based review, and I think you and I talked about that the last time I was on the show, so I won't spend a lot of time on it other than to say we took the organization down to its base level and tried to identify what are the core services our residents expect us to deliver, and let's shed the other services that are detracting us. And then the other thing is we're looking at a policy regarding the fees that we charge for special services. And we recognize that the average taxpayer was being asked to subsidize a number of services that were being enjoyed by a limited number of our residents and businesses. And so we're trying to get more of that financial burden put on the place in the laps of those who are benefiting from the service.
What's the toughest part of your job?
Besides talking to you.
Now, I know it's a challenge.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy my job so much. I don't know that there's any one aspect of it that I would say is a challenge other than to make sure that I continue to work with our staff on creating a vision for where we're headed, and that we are always in tune with what our residents want.
You know, do you have people around you? Do you ever just have it say, let's bring in some lunch and just noodle and brainstorm? Do you ever do that in city government?
Yeah, we in a little different way, yes. But we've just come out of an effort where over a two-year period, I met with all of our employee groups. So I hopefully touch most of our employees. And in doing so, we identified what we believe is our core mission and vision, and then also the values. What does it mean to work for the city of Wichita? Who is it that we serve, and what do they expect from us? And I think you'll see even more focus on customer orientation, the customer's desires. We're a service industry, and people forget that. They always consider government to be something different, but I'm no different than a retailer or a private business. I serve over a half million people and businesses in this city, and I can't forget what it is they want us to do with their dollars. And so that's what we've been spending a lot of time talking about.
You always come to say to people, come to Wichita, because when you're running in October in this town, it's about as good as it gets.
It is.
You know, we can run almost outdoors almost every day of the year if you bundle up, right?
The last couple of years especially, we've been fortunate, yes.
All right, so you're getting out, you're taking care of your health. Not that I'm terribly worried about it, but are you?
I know you're not worried at all, but I am. And yes, as I get older, I'm even more concerned about that. But yes, I'm.
Is he going to stay a while with us? A couple of years more, maybe?
I love this city. I'm not interested in leaving, and hopefully my bosses aren't interested in me leaving. So
and we'll have a talk with them if they do. Okay? Yeah, hey, listen, thanks as always for spending some time with us. We always learn something and have a good session whenever you come in for the Issue Show. Thank you again, sir.
Steve, thank you so much.
Our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2017. We will, of course, be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.